gentleman who covers them for ESPN, beat reporter for the Cleveland Browns for ESPN, Daniel Oyafusi, joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. Daniel, great to have you with us. Thank you very much for your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Tom Withers, who you know, sitting to my right. Here you go. Rookies are reporting today. That's all well and good. One rookie not there. If you're the Browns, how do you handle things with Quinshon Judkins, who's not signed to a contract right now? It's kind of a strange dynamic, especially if you're Quinshon. You're in trouble and you're not signed.
Yeah, it is a very unique situation. Now, we do see situations where rookies are unsigned as their agents, the teams are, you know, disputing and going over certain clauses and different aspects of the contract. That's normal. And especially this year where we see a lot of second round picks, we're trying to get more guaranteed money. You know, the first couple picks of the second round, including Carson Schlesinger, got a fully guaranteed deal. So a lot of those second round picks are trying to get that. But then you add the wrinkle of obviously this recent legal situation with him being charged with domestic violence, battery domestic violence, just last week for Lauderdale. It really does complicate things. And really, if you're the Browns, that you really aren't in a position to need to come to the negotiating table and start the deal. You really want to see how this legal situation plays out. So obviously, rookies have reported today, Quinshon Judkins, I mean, he's not able to report just because he's not under contract, and now it looks like this might play out a little bit as we look to see how his legal situation is resolved.
Daniel, how do you think it does play out? Do you think it's a situation where they'll let the legal process completely play out? Will they let the league interject with any potential suspension or punishment towards Judkins before we see him on the field?
Well, I do think we have a little bit of a similar situation. Again, it's not the same exact situation, but last year, we had a second round Browns rookie with Michael Jr., who, it's a couple weeks into, I believe it was training camp, had a situation pop up. And, you know, they continued to let him practice, even played in some preseason games while that legal situation played out. And then, once there was some resolution with the case, the NFL came in and they placed him on the commissioner's exempt list, which obviously the Browns have no control over. So again, it's not apples to apples, but I do think that this is a situation where they're going to see legally how this is resolved, and then the NFL will come in and enact whatever punishment that they might see is fit.
Daniel, do you think they need to go out and bring in anybody else at running back, or can they sit back and wait and see how this plays out and be comfortable with the four guys who are on the roster right now?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a depth piece, just because, again, we're probably going to get into it, but you got a four-man quarterback competition. You need some skill position bodies and rotating in and out. Obviously, they are. Also drafted Dylan Sampson in the fourth round. Jerome Ford is back there. Pierre Strong. I think they got guys who can carry a load. Obviously, Judkins, they were really excited about the potential of Judkins in this offense. I don't know about a lead back, but somebody who could really step in, in the aftermath of Nick Chubb's departure. But I think that they've got guys who can kind of hold the fort down, so to speak. Maybe a depth piece, but I don't think you need to go out there and really start looking for a guy to take, 12, 15 carries in the backfield.
Daniel, I guess we got to transition to the quarterbacks here since you brought it up, and that's where all eyes will be on this camp. I'm just curious, what were your reflections on what you saw out of both Gabriel and Sanders, during the time you saw them on the field this spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think that first off, you have to kind of add the context and the background of the spring workouts and OTAs and mandatory minicamp. And that says, as a lot of people have said and reported, Dylan Gabriel, third round pick, got an opportunity, got a lot of opportunities to run with the first team offense against the first team defense. But when we were out there, we didn't see Sanders, the fifth round pick, running with the first. He was often running with the second team offense, the third team offense at times. They were two spotting, and they had Sanders work on another field while Gabriel was on the others with the veterans and the first team offense. So you have to add that context.
Sure.
But I thought that, the full body of work, both of them impressed me. And I think if you're a Browns fan, that's really, exciting as we head into training camp. I think, the hallmarks of their skill set, you know, the traits that a lot of people that made a lot of people high on these prospects, I think that showed. You know, I think both of them are very accurate quarterbacks. I think specifically with Sanders, because, you know, he was getting a lot of time on his own with the second team offense. It was just that the precision of his passes and, you know, the accuracy. Like, he's not going to be a mobile guy. He's not going to run around the pocket. But as somebody who can stay in the pocket and deliver an accurate pass, I thought he was really impressive. And I thought that Gabriel really came on in the final days of mandatory minicamp. You know, you got to, again, you kind of maybe – played him with the curve because he's running against Miles Garrett and Denzel Ward. But I think that in the final days of the offseason workout program, we really did see him push the ball down the field. So it's going to be interesting to see how they divvy up these reps, because Kevin Stefanski said the spring was more for installation and teaching phase. And that's why the rookies got so many reps. But he acknowledged that once we get into training camp, they're looking to evaluate guys and get ready for the season. So where do those rookies kind of stack up in this rotation?
Daniel Oyefusi from ESPN covers the Browns, joining us here at 92.3 The Fan. Daniel, you mentioned Gabriel, and obviously, and as Tom said, you know, everybody's watching these rookies. We all hope they both succeed. The general consensus seems to be that Shedeur Sanders isn't quite NFL ready yet and could really benefit from sitting out a year. You mentioned Gabriel came on late and came on pretty strong. Do you think he's NFL ready? I mean, any rookie I would think could benefit from watching a little bit. But do you think Gabriel's NFL ready?
Well, I don't know if it really matters what I think. You know, the fact of the matter is the Browns.
It matters to us, Daniel. Come on.
I mean, well, I'll say this. The Browns took Gabriel with a top 100 pick and then the third round of the draft for a reason. And that's because, you know, they really fell in love with him during the pre-draft process. And they saw him as a guy who, you know, despite his 5'11 stature, had played in a lot of different college systems and some systems that they think was really transferable to what they're trying to do in Cleveland. So again, if you take a guy that early, especially at quarterback, that does, you know, show that you think he has the potential to play early. Whereas, you know, Sanders was taken in the fifth round. So regardless of whatever pre-draft perceptions any of us may have, I mean, the fact of the matter is one guy was drafted two rounds, you know, ahead of the other guy, and one quarterback is getting some first team reps ahead of the other. So regardless of what we thought about these guys coming into the draft, the Browns have certain perspectives and evaluations of these guys, and we'll see how that plays out in the coming weeks.
Daniel, you were a Browns rookie last year, and you had a strong year, and you had your
nice job, Daniel.
Yeah. And you had your first chance to kind of, you know, view a Kevin Stefanski team and everything that goes along with that, which is, you know, practices, you know, game planning, et cetera, et cetera. I heard things looked a little bit different this spring in terms of OTAs and pace of practice and things like that. Do you think that's is there a deliberate change going on out there? I mean, obviously, you know, coming off a 3-14 season, things have to change pretty dramatically. But did you notice a very detectable difference in the way they went about practices?
Yeah, I heard that from multiple players who said that they just feel like there's a little more intensity to these practices. And I want to say about that, you know, you have to, again, kind of adding context to the situation. Last year, they were entering the offseason workout and training camp with some key injuries, right, at very key spots. You know, obviously Deshaun Watson was throwing every other day during the spring as he was still managing that shoulder surgery. You had, you know, multiple guys on the offensive line who were, you know, coming back from significant leg injuries. And I think that there was a little bit of a deliberate approach last year to make sure that, like, hey, let's just get to, right, the regular season and as healthy as possible. But obviously, you know, you do see a little more activity. I've seen a little more activity. I think part of that is just the nature of the quarterback competition. Like, they need to get these reps in, and they need to get guys evaluated. So we have been seeing that. But, yeah, I think that, you know, when you add in, you know, trying to figure out who the starting quarterback is going to be, a better health situation, and obviously trying to rebound from a 3-14 season, you're going to switch some things up. So, again, I think last year, even in training camp, the first couple weeks, like, they weren't really getting at it the way, you know, I'm used to seeing teams do. But I think, you know, this time around, we're going to see a lot more activity early on.
Daniel Oyefusi joining us, Browns beat reporter for ESPN. I can't wait to see Mason Graham. I'm maybe even more curious about Carson Schlesinger. They clearly are counting on these two young rookies in a big way on the offense, more so than they're counting on the rookies on the offensive side of the ball. Wouldn't you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, especially starting with Graham. I think the Browns kind of threw us for a loop on draft night. We all expected it was going to be Travis Hunter, and then they trade back three spots to get the extra first-round pick and take Graham. But he wasn't like a consolation prize or anything like that. Like, they viewed him as a premier player in this draft and a player that they view as a perfect fit for the defense. Now, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for Graham, because in college at Michigan, he was asked to more read and react on the defensive line. Jim Schwartz wants these guys on the defensive line to just penetrate and attack and cause mayhem in the backfield. But, all the reports have been good so far. They're saying that he's learning the playbook well, and he made some plays in the spring. And then you look at Schlesinger, obviously with JOK being out for the year, they're going to need some guys to step up in some more full-time roles. And, you know, again, if you take a guy that early first pick to the second round, he might as well be a first-round pick. And they view him as an every-down player that has size, speed, quickness, can play special teams. Obviously, there's some vets in that linebacker room, but he's a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year he's playing significant snaps.
Switching over to the offensive side of the ball for a second, Daniel, I was really impressed, and I think you were as well, with Jerry Jeudy's growth last year after coming over from Denver, new offense, change of scenery. He really started to blossom as the season went on. I've heard good things about what his offseason has been about as well, not only on the field, but in terms of maybe taking on a greater leadership role. I was just curious from your standpoint, Daniel, where do you see Jeudy, and can you see another level for him coming up in this season?
Yeah, well, I can definitely see another level for him, because I think from the time, for the moment Jameis Winston stepped in at quarterback, Jerry Jeudy was top three in receiving yards with guys like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And he just had like 300 yards or so, in the 8-7 games prior to that. So there definitely is another level for him if he can get consistent targets throughout the entirety of the season. And I will say, this spring, he looked great. There's four quarterbacks that they're rotating in and out. One thing was constant. They found Jerry Jeudy. And I think that entering year two, there's a level of comfort on both sides with Jerry Jeudy being in Cleveland, knowing the scheme, having his bearings around him. And then, vice versa, Kevin Stefanski knowing how to utilize him and maybe even devising new ways to use him. So obviously he's the undisputed wide receiver number one. We don't really know who wide receiver two or three is going to be. So he's going to get a lot of targets, and regardless of who's at quarterback, I'm expecting a big year from Jerry Jeudy.
Daniel, are they okay without knowing who wide receiver two and three might be? Or does this team still need to add somebody?
Well, I mean, I guess they did add somebody in Deontay Johnson, who, is kind of on his last.
Yeah, I know, but I'm thinking even, I keep looking, and I'm with you. I love Cedric Tillman, but the concussion is a concern. And Deontay Johnson's abilities are terrific. I mean, he was great in Pittsburgh, and then it went south last year. And I just wonder, if those two guys aren't good to go, what are they going to do at wide receiver? Because it would seem that they're a little light. I guess you could always make a move, but I wonder if you should add somebody, one of the free agents still remaining before training camp even starts.
Yeah, there definitely is uncertainty, and I think that they want to give those young guys a chance to prove themselves. They are high on not only Cedric Tillman, but Jamari Thrash, a fifth-round pick from last year. I think both of them had some good moments. Or I guess I should say Jamari Thrash had some good moments because Tillman was sidelined by an undisclosed injury. We'll see what his status is for the beginning of camp. I think they are going to let some of these young guys get an opportunity to prove themselves, and, if things aren't going well in the first couple weeks, maybe they do add a guy. Obviously, again, kind of going back to Johnson, the ability is there. I mean, he's a 2021 Pro Bowler. He's the most accomplished receiver on the team outside of Jerry Jeudy. And you could say, in a way, he's a little more accomplished just because he has more of a track record of producing. That's definitely something to look out for, because Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku is not going to cut it. They need one or two other guys to be a factor in this passing game.
Daniel, thank you for being with us. Get the sleep where you can. It's going to be a busy 6 months for you.
Oh, I'm going to try. Thank you.
Daniel
Oyefusi from ESPN covers the Browns, and he's really does a great job of being all over things. Make sure you read him on ESPN.